Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Match Ball.
Hello then, welcome to the show brought to you with Levi Solicitors. To get 10% off your legal fees, head to levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan, hello, and I'm joined by Michael Normanton.
Hello.
Moscow White as well, Daniel Chapman.
Hello.
Welcome to the Premier League then, lads. That had a bit of a Premier League feel to it, didn't it? Didn't enjoy that much in that second half.
Stupid. I hope those six do fuck off and they can take Wolves with them. Poxy league. Stupid. I want to win games.
I want to win the league. I thought that's what we were doing. I thought that was the whole plan. I don't see how losing to Wolves, our first defeat of the season, fits with that criteria.
It looked in the first half like we were going to win the league because we absolutely had them on toast, didn't we, for 45 minutes. It was the proverbial game of two halves. What did you make of it?
I'm not too disheartened, really. It was one of those where if things just break for us, we win that game. They weren't all that, were they? And Wolves are a really good side. Everyone was saying that until they'd lost to West Ham. Everyone was saying how good they'd been for the last few years.
I did say after they lost to West Ham that they ought to have been closed down for that. Santo sacked, no more Wolves. And I stand by that. I think that would have been a much better result all around. Tonight would have been a lot easier.
Well, I very much enjoyed the first half, but not that second half. I found that second one quite difficult to watch. I mean, we've just watched this one together, and you'll be aware that I just couldn't really watch that second half because they were dicking us. And when we spoke and previewed in advance of this game, this was kind of what I feared, a bit of a Premier League leveller where we would be quite good up to a point, but then we'd get punished because we lacked a certain amount of quality, because there were just certain areas, not like Phillips, for example. You don't want to pick on Phillips because he's been great, but there were certain parts of his game tonight where he just didn't feel like he was on it. Maybe it was Southgate there. Maybe Southgate's ruined him and broken him forever. I don't know.
I don't think we got dicked at any point. They were the better team in the second half, but they weren't as dominant in the second half as we were in the first. And I think it's all right to not dominate games for 90 minutes.
It has been pointed out, this is what Wolves are doing this season. They've not scored many they've not conceded many apart from that West Ham mess. They did what they needed to by playing well for about 15 minutes after half time and then just defending like hell. I mean, it says everything about the game that we ended with Pablo Hernandez, Rafinha, Ian Pineda, Patrick Bamford, Rodrigo M. I'm sure the ghosts of Helder Costa and Jackie Harrison were still influencing the game from the sidelines. And Stuart Dallas and Lou Kaling are not really defenders. So, and what was happening, it was just Leeds attacking for the end of it and not scoring, which is, it was a little bit championship in some of those respects.
You took the words right out of my mouth there. I was going to say exactly the same point. It feels a little bit like some of the games that we saw last season where we dominated and then just didn't make it count.
But better, because it was much more expensive. It feels a lot better to be watching Rodrigo missing chances and Rafinha not hitting his crosses than it did watching. I mean, Jackie Harrison was effectively free, wasn't he? He was always on loan. We've never paid a penny for him. So having £30 million players unable to score against Wolverhampton Wanderers, it's just like back when we had Samu Saiz and we couldn't score against Wolverhampton Wanderers. Caleb Ekuban.
To approach it from a slightly more serious angle, it's fine, isn't it? Because we know we're going to lose a few games in the Premier League. You know, if we get sort of 7 points out of every 5 games, whatever, we'll be all right.
It's fine. In the first half, bear in mind my usual levels of pessimism, I think I may have said, we're not going down this year, are we? Because we just don't have that vibe about us. We do look good, certainly good enough to be staying up, which is as much as I ever dream of. Just not having the most heartbreaking thing in the world happen. That's all I want.
I did have this game kind of, not hyped up, but just a little line, a circle around it on the calendar maybe. Don't lose that match. And that it would have been really nice if we'd won, to kind of follow up beating Liverpool and beating Manchester City as we did, and the victories over Fulham and whatever else we've done this season, and just get through that first kind of hype and hysteria, the excitement of coming into the Premier League and actually being really good at it, which I think has lifted everybody's mood, come out of the international break, which was a complete waste of time and just made everything miserable and horrible, but then restore ourselves, regulation win over Wolves, and then you're a little bit more relaxed about Aston Villa and what happens in the games after that, because it's not about this season whether we can beat Liverpool and Manchester City, which we did. It's about beating Wolves, and that's probably where we're going to be judged at the end of the season. And we didn't, so I guess it's relegation.
What do we take out of this game then?
That we could have won. Their goal was, it was a fluke, wasn't it? It'll go down as his goal, but it's an own goal, is that. It's going completely the opposite direction. I don't think it's going in. And what Calvin does to it means it's completely unsavable. And other than that, it's not that the Cav is open either. That was because of a slip, with that chance even came about in the first place. And then for some reason, we had about five players all trying to tackle him and no one quite got around to it. But they weren't, it wasn't like when we played Wolves in the Championship the year they went up, when I remember them just absolutely blowing us away and it felt like they were on a completely different level to us. This was, they had some chances, and there was obviously the one that was disallowed as well, which felt, well, I don't think any of us picked up on it being offside at the time. But they didn't dominate us in that game, I didn't think. And I was just looking at the stats for it and stuff. Like, we had the XG, because I know we always look at it, 1.26 to 0.63. So I'm claiming that as a win. But we had more possession. They had one more shot on target than us. But there's not an awful lot in that game. We completed a lot more passes. We had more corners. It's fine, is what I'm saying.
It was just that 15 minutes after half-time that for some reason we lost a grip. More of ourselves than we did for them, but because we'd lost a grip of ourselves, things were breaking down. Like, Jackie and Stuart would not connect the way they would or the way they would like to, and suddenly we'd be under pressure and there'd be an attack, and that wasn't happening in the first half. And yeah, teams, we're set up to attack so relentlessly that when teams start attacking us, can be a bit of a different question. And the way that Jimenez, for Calvin Phillips' goal, the way he was allowed to just run around the middle of the pitch after Stroik had slipped, it wasn't the first time that had happened. And I don't know if maybe everybody's a bit wary of Premier League referees and VAR and stuff, but I was thinking, Calvin, just take his neck off. Just go in there, you know, just somebody needed to just two-foot him and put a stop to it. But maybe that's something, you know, there's lots of things we have to get used to in the Premier League, and perhaps not being able to snap people at the knees is one of them.
What was the difference between the first half and the second half then, in your opinion? Where did it go wrong in that first spell in the second half?
That's a football question, isn't it? Christ, I've no idea. It felt like we didn't have the ball in midfield very much anymore. It felt like the first half, I thought Click was absolutely brilliant. He seemed really dominant, and it seemed to be him threading stuff together, playing in mainly like Dallas and Ayling down the wings. It just felt like we were flooding them more because we had control of it in the middle of the pitch, and then all of a sudden it felt like we couldn't ever get a hold of it in that second, at the start of the second half. And whenever we did, passes were going astray and we just never quite got to build anything. Towards the end, I think it was Poveda with the very late chance, wasn't it? We didn't really get a proper angle of it, but it was coming across the box from Rafinha and it looked like someone needed to tap it in, but it didn't feel like a particularly well-constructed move. Whereas the first half, we were putting together some really nice things that maybe didn't ever quite lead to a proper chance.
I think maybe Wolves got better. I mean, Wolves are good, you know. I do still think they should have been closed down after losing to West Ham. Stand by it. But they are they in the Europa League again this year? They've finished seventh a couple of times in the Premier League, which is more than we've done for 16 years. And Santo, I didn't realise until the previews of all this match that it was him who signed Rodrigo for Valencia. However many years ago. So there's a lot of pedigree there, and, you know, 16 players away licking Cristiano Ronaldo's poisoned face. It says a lot about their team and where they've got to and what they've been able to do. Connor Cody in the England squad, he's no Calvin Phillips, but he's, you know, they're of a level probably not as far ahead of us as you would expect them to be after their 2 years in the Premier League, but they are there. And as for why, you know, they can beat us and Manchester City can't, mysteries of football, isn't it? I mean, Manchester City beat Arsenal, so they actually aren't terrible.
And looking at the sort of the investment that's gone into Wolves, and we're obviously getting to that level now where we're spending a lot of money on players, but some of our better players today were the ones that we've not spent much money on. I thought Click and Ayling and Dallas were all really good. I thought Koch is looking better with every game. I thought first half in particular, I thought it was brilliant. There were a few really nice things he did when he was playing the ball out of from the back as well. There was one where he looked like he was going to just sort of guard it out for a goal kick, but then he turned and sprinted upfield with it and played a good pass. And I don't, he's starting to look now like a good player. But there's not, I mean, within that defence, it's actually a really pretty cheap thing, isn't it, as a whole, considering some of the money that's been spent.
And until you mentioned Cork, I was going to say that's our virtue, is those players, Ayling and Dallas, have been doing this for 2 years and won the league doing it, and Bamford and all the players are actually the bedrock, and it's fitting in players like Marino, Rodrigo, as he also calls himself, and Cork, and Rafinha being thrown on at the end, Hernandez back from injury, so hasn't trained much. There's expecting it to all be brilliant instantly, like it was against, you know, I glorify the victory over Liverpool, but we can't pretend that we didn't concede 4 goals in that game. Really, there is a lot that still needs to be worked on as we get used to being in the Premier League, and tonight probably just showed it, and you will be able to get through a match in those educational stages like the Manchester City game and not lose it. But then other nights, it's going to go in off Calvin's big bonce and Melier just won't be able to get there, and that'll be that. And after that, you know, we're talking about the second half, and I keep saying at the end of that, you know, it's Wolves just sat back much more and played on the break, which they can do because they've got lots of really fast players who can run.
The encouraging thing for me there is something you've kind of just touched on, Moscow, is that the gap wasn't that great between us and Wolves. You can see that we've narrowed that gap in a very short space of time, actually, and with a lot of players who've come from that lower level with us. We've done all right, I think. That's the encouraging thing, if you're looking at the bigger picture.
And also, we went into that game without our first-choice centre-backs as well. I mean, we've been wanting this spare centre-back for years, and we've used them up already. We need Berardi back as soon as possible, straight away. So it's not fair to really judge us on that, I don't think, because Stryker is not a player that anyone really thought would be starting games when you look at our squad in particular this season. Now we're loaded up with all these international centre backs, and I include Scotland international Liam Cooper in that. To go into it against Jimenez, who is a really, really good striker as well, like he scores 20 goals a season for Wolves, and it's not easy to play against him. And I thought overall we actually did all right. So I'm not worried, is what I'm. It feels like everything comes back to.
Are you worried about Stryk going off injured now as well?
Yep. I'm worried about that. Sign some more centre-backs. We can't, can we? I don't know. Just put Charlie Cresswell in or something.
Somebody will come in. Somebody will come in. So what are your high points from tonight then? Who were your good performers? Because it feels like we finished this disappointed, but that first half, there was so much to be encouraged by because we dominated that game completely in the first half. So who are your good performers from the first half, your star players?
I thought Koch was brilliant first half. It feels like every game I see him, he seems to improve a little bit, and I can almost accept us not getting Ben White now because he probably is as good and half the price.
He's better. I thought, yeah.
I didn't want to say.
Nah, say it. Fuck Ben White. He plays for Brighton. Yeah, I really enjoyed Koch in the first half, and you can quote me on that. And Melier continues to just impress as the best goalkeeper I think I've ever seen. That's maybe overdue, but his save from that the one right at the end of the first half, not only was it a good block, but he had to sort of fight his way through Luke Ayling as well. Luke Ayling was standing on the goal line and Melier almost tripped over him and went flying and then still got up and made a really brilliant save. And the dive in the second half was a good one. And if that Jimenez's shot had been on target, I've no doubt Melier would have saved it because he just saves absolutely everything. And there's things like that really are encouraging. You know, you come into the season, you worry about who the goalkeeper is going to be. Are they going to be any good? It's going to be Melier. And yes, he is. And that's a big benefit going forward. And Koch as well, if we're talking about players who are going to have to learn how to play for Bielsa. Maybe it is the 6 months we spent sending him videos of how to play that's made him adapt so much better. But I think what I liked about tonight was that change that brought in Strike so late, and then it means, all right, Robin Koch, you're the German international. Might be only 23, but you're the one with all the appearances. You've played in the Bundesliga. You're the senior centre-back, even though it's only your fifth game in this country, never mind this league. And he stepped up to that, and he did it.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, as you two are the note takers in this operation, I've got no idea about any of the chances now. The only thing I can remember is the goal that's gone in for Wolves. So did we have enough chances to win that? Do you think on another night we could have won it?
Yeah, I think so. I think particularly considering the way the season started, where everything Bamford has hit has gone in, it was almost somewhat surprising to see him shanking that one wide early on when it went past the right keeper's right hand post. He sort of opened his body up and put it, he didn't curl it in at all. But that's the sort of chance that in the opening few games he has been scoring.
He did a full Steve Morrison with that one. He saw the corner flag and he went for it.
There was an ailing one as well, I seem to remember, where it came across to him on the right hand edge of the 6 yard box. I think it was blocked. I don't know, it felt like there was not any sort of gilt-edged chances, but there were chances as good as we have scored this season, which maybe indicates that we've scored some goals we shouldn't have done. But I don't like to say that. I think we've deserved everything.
There was the other Bamford one as well, where it was crossed in low and we couldn't tell if it was if it had gone off the defender, but then they gave a goal kick, and if it was off Bamford, it was a pretty poor effort. But it was more...
Straight on his back again.
Well, you know.
You hateful bastard.
I want to see him missing chances for England. I'm still happy for it to happen. But it was more... I mean, the one chance he actually did take well was the corner that was offside. That was a good header. I'm not even joking. I thought he finished it well. But it was more some of that championship stuff of us being really good up until the 6 yard box and then somehow not quite finding the pass that goes to the right player. So there wasn't, you're not giving it to Bambino in a chance where he can't miss. It's always, there's that, still that little bit too much to do, which, I'll get on Jackie Harrison's back about it. Give him better chances. Well, take your name back.
Yeah, that is true. We didn't really have gilt-edged chances, did we? No, it didn't feel like that. And I've only just remembered that they had a goal disallowed by VAR.
Rightly.
It was correctly offside.
And they should have had a player sent off by VAR as well. But he went... lying down crying at the end, didn't he? Jimenez, he kicked cock in the cock.
Yeah, he seemed annoyed to have tried to kick him. He didn't seem to do anything to deserve it either, didn't cock? I didn't understand at all what he was complaining about.
It's one of those things, you didn't understand why he kicked him or why Jimenez was crying.
Why he first of all tried to kick him and then why he was crying, because he didn't seem like cock had done an awful lot wrong.
I think he tried to kick him because he's a dickhead, and then he started crying about it because he's a real dickhead. I think it was one of those a coming together, and on the way down some players just do it, don't they? Just stick a leg out and he did that, and then I think when he realised it had gone wrong and maybe he thinks, ooh, that could be a mistake, he's like, well, I'll pretend he hurt me and then I'll get the sympathy and he'll get into trouble. That boy did it. It was all that. It did at least, however, give us Bielsa wading into a developing brawl and just waving everybody away like a primary school teacher.
That was one of those situations. The offside was obviously fairly clear cut, although I don't know about you, just the way it seems to be going at the moment, because the line seemed to very clearly show him being offside. I was fully expecting them to give it just because of they're just going to go, oh, no, that's the line is different. The line will bend. And you'll be like, hang on, but...
Don't work like that in Leeds, different gravity, innit?
But I think the should have been red card. Just that sums up what's wrong with VAR, in that if the ref had sent him off, they wouldn't have overruled it. But because he didn't, nothing happened at all. And it's one of those where you think, well, there's got to be a right and a wrong. Or actually, no, there hasn't, because that's not the way refereeing games works. But that's what VAR tries to reduce things to, is that there must be a right and a wrong, which there actually isn't. But it ends up with everyone feeling a bit aggrieved in that situation, because they're like, well, he's kicked out there. David Beckham got sent off in the World Cup for that.
Yeah, the whole thing is supposed to be, if the referee hasn't seen it, this guy watching it on television can say, oh, you've missed something, go and send him off. And that's the perfect example of what should have happened. You can't always expect the referee to spot the way a player's moved his legs in a tackle on the touchline. But if somebody's watching it on a massive widescreen telly with his feet up and a beer and can see that it's happened, then all he needs to do is get on his radio and say, right, when he stopped crying, send him off. And then it's done and it's sorted, and that's exactly how it's supposed to work.
I think the thing is, you don't want to see those, the little nibbles, the little slight kickouts. You don't want to see that being given as a red card.
But because, I do, if it's a Wolves player against Leeds.
Well, yeah, but because you have seen them, you then want that one to be clamped down on specifically for that incident. You just get him off, because I've seen that once before in another game. The one everyone's picked up on is Son at Tottenham, who got sent off for exactly that by VAR. And yet, where's the consistency?
I mean, if Click had done it, then I would find it hilarious and think it was banter, but would want him to be given a trophy rather than a red card. But in this instance, yes, send all the Wolves players off.
I mean, actually, no one got hurt and it was all fine, wasn't it?
He looked like, I mean, he was down for ages for nothing.
He should have been allowed a free stamp at him.
What did you make of Rafinha then when he came on? We didn't see much of him, but some bright bits in there. It was nice to see that it looks like he's, you know, fitted in quite quickly, and, you know, he knows where he should be. Like, it always helps, I think, when it comes to football. I know we're getting into football talk again, but you know what I mean?
Complete waste of money. Why are we spending all this money on players?
Didn't score.
Throughout the game, I was kind of thinking transfer fees are a nonsense, aren't they? Because it's very hard to tell. Look, just watching, maybe it's more obvious in other teams, but just watching our team, it's very hard to tell who cost money, a lot of money, and who didn't, isn't it? It seems to be more about how well you fitted into the system. And I think it was quite interesting that he chose to bring Poveda on before Rafinha, even though Poveda was a free transfer, and we've just spent the best part of 20 million quid on Rafinha. It just shows that he likes people to know the system more than actually be a, maybe have the innate ability.
Yeah, and I think Rafinha coming into that game, it was quite difficult to work out what we were just attacking. It was just everybody goes forward and Ayling and Calvin kind of hang around the back line. You can tell transfer fees, Rodrigo, he looks expensive. He looks like Stella Artois used to, and he's rolled up like a Ferrero Rocher. Some of his touches and some of his flicks and passes are just...
You are just naming things that aren't expensive, by the way.
But have an
Ferrero Rocher like a quid.
All right, but actually, I mean, Stella Artois used to market itself as reassuringly expensive.
It did.
So there you go. If you can't be reassured by the expense of gallons of wife beater, then I don't know how you can be. But on the other hand, Calvin Phillips, who cost us nothing, but would probably... I mean, there was the talk over the weekend of £50 million bids from Liverpool, which I think might be revenge for the project, big picture stuff, but I guess we'll talk about that on the main podcast. Even though he did not have his best game tonight and scored for Wolverhampton Wanderers, which he's not supposed to do, when we were trying to get an equaliser, there was a moment when he was on the right and he played an inch-perfect pass over to Dallas on the left wing, and Dallas gave it him straight back, and he'd moved into the middle and he just turned around and played an inch-perfect pass over to Poveda on the right wing. And you're just looking at him going, yeah, Calvin Phillips, this isn't your best game, but you're still really, really good. And that's, you know, maybe another reassuring thing. We've got loads of really good players. So I think we'll win the league on that basis in the end.
And I think potentially some of our best players are still not properly integrated in the team, are they? That was the thing. We may well end the season with Costa on the bench and Rafinha starting games and Poveda playing number 10 while Rodrigo's up front. There's a long way to go in this season, and I think maybe our best players are not yet playing in their final positions, and that's not a dig at Bamford.
We could end up with Luke Ayling in goal and Pascal Struyck playing off Bamford up front. It's anything good. Sam Greenwood, get Joffe Gelhart in the team. I know Greenwood's injured, but you know, if we're looking for a little bit of inspiration, that's the next thing that's going to happen. Because this is the kind of thing I'll
get Eddie Green and play the kids because we've lost one game.
Exactly. What I was hoping we'd avoid by beating Wolves was any sort of hint of that, because it just you know, reasonably, because we did lose to what was a championship team, we did lose to Wolves. So you have got to look at it and say, Eddie Gray, why hasn't Gelhart, I mean, he's been absolutely sensational for the under-23s. What's the point in Joffe Gelhart having good games for the under-23s if he can't even get into the first team past what's-his-face Rodrigo? Just because he cost a lot of money.
Back to Rodrigo for a second. That flick that he did, I can't remember exactly which chance it was in the first half, but he was sort of in the forward right-hand area and he just did that little flick back through his legs, whatever it was that he did. I just went, ooh, at the time. That was, I think it was my highlight of the game.
There's a lot of that. He does that quite a lot. I like him. He'll be good.
You think so?
I think he'll be a good player for Leeds United, yes.
In your expert footballing opinion.
my assessment.
At least we can laugh about tonight. I think when you compare it to like last year, when losing a game like this, when it's been quite tight and quite even, would have felt like an absolute hammer blow. And you think, well, that's it. We're not going up. We might as well shut it down now. We've had 100 years. As I said last year, it's been a good run. If we haven't gone up, pack it in. Just knock it on the head. Kibosh it. But actually, do you know what? It's fine, isn't it? And we crack on next time. Have we got Villa on Friday?
We have. We've got a little bit of reaction from tonight as well. Connor Cody kind of hints at what we were saying before about the way Wolves handled it. He says it was a massive result for us. It's about 100 miles an hour when you play against them. But we had a plan and we stuck with it. It's about managing the game. I think that's kind of where they got it. They sailed their ship through rocky waters as we attacked them relentlessly and then just scored a goal. Bastards. Not conceding and then scoring seems to have been their plan. That's
a cunning plan at that.
Mm.
But they didn't deserve to score. It was an own goal. We gave them it. I think that means in the return game they have to let us score or something. Is that the way it works?
Bielsa has pointed out he's on his old favourite about there being many interruptions, so it was difficult to find continuity in the game. And then when we didn't take, when an offensive team, which he means Leeds, but not in the offensive Mary Whitehouse sense, doesn't take their chances, the opponent grows confidence. And given how the game went, we thought we did enough to create a lead. Do you want to know what we didn't do as well in the second half? Lost some offensive capability. I mean, it's being live blocked out of the press conference by Leeds Live, so I'm imagining there was probably more to it than that. But I'd take that assessment. Yeah, we lost some offensive capability. Well summed up, Marcelo. You can come again.
It's almost like he knows what he's doing, isn't it?
I want Allardyce in.
If he knows what he's doing, why didn't he beat Wolves?
Allardyce alongside Eddie Gray.
It's customary when we're recording the main podcast tomorrow as this stands because of the stupid layout of the fixtures this week. So we'll have a proper dive into heroes and villains tomorrow. But just off the top of your head, who have you got for tonight?
Speaking of offensive things, the Wolves badge really upset me. I'm not a fan of tonal badges anyway, and they seem to have gone for two colours that are almost the same on a tonal badge, which is a very odd choice.
That player for Wolves, Pedro Quicksave, what was he called? Neto.
Never,
him, he can be a villain, although a hero, because I really only mentioned him to do that joke. Last time we played Wolves, when they beat us 3-0, we had BPF, Super Duper, Pontus Janssen, Vernon and Nita Berardi. If only they'd been there tonight, he'd have snapped Jimenez. Stuart Dallas, Adam Forshaw, Calvin Phillips, Pierre-Michel Lasoga, Hadi Sako and Samo Saiz, front three. We brought on, after just 36 minutes, how's this for a defensive crisis? Liam Cooper went off, Matthew Pennington came on, Hernandez for Sako, and when Pierre-Michel Lasoga wasn't quite doing it, and we were a minute away from going three goals down, just before that happened, Caleb Ekuban came on. Now, of course, the goal-scoring sensation linked with moves to the Champions League clubs. We've come a long way.
We have team talk done for Friday, by the way, because Gabby Agbonlahor, who you'll be aware we're playing Villa on Friday.
Oh, you were going to say Yorath. What's she done? She's a Leeds fan.
He said, Leeds are a myth. Maybe all the pundits will get out of Bielsa's arse.
Have you seen Agbonlahor's face, though? He looks like he's malfunctioned. His eyes don't line up properly. And he's I described a video of him the other day as looking like a deep fake. You know, when it's like someone else's face has been mapped over the top of it, and he's there's just something not right about the man. Just go and look at any picture of him. He looks wrong.
Not a myth. We exist. The Loch Ness Monster's a myth. Leeds United are a football team. Jimmy, he seems very confused.
And Sir Jimmy Hasselbank's being given advice about game management to Bielsa as well in the post match on Sky. So that's good. That's
I hope that did they actually put him through? Did they patch him through like Klopp to Keane? Because that would have been quite something. Bielsa, I will not do interviews. No, here's Sky. They've got Jimmy Hasselbank wants to tell you how to play football.
That is one thing I'm enjoying. It's been written off, and we're going to be written off. Like, for example, conceding the late one against Liverpool. Everyone's like, we'll see the shit, really. And now losing to Wolves. Leeds are shit, really. We're not shit. You do win and lose games in football. That's how it works, I gather.
I think that's one of the things that's been quite pleasant about our good start of the season is not just that it puts us in a handy position to win the title in May, but also it'll wind a lot of people up now. So they'll be extra angry when we win, and then they'll just be annoying when we lose, but that's kind of the position we want to be in. If we were like 18th and struggling to stay in the division, there wouldn't be that light and shade, and I think we will be spending more time in the light between Patrick Bamford's wonky legs.
It does feel like the rules would be different for us. Like, we could finish 12th this year and people would be like, see, crap.
Yeah, rubbish, aren't they, Leeds?
We'll be like, no, that's pretty good for a newly promoted team. And like, well, You all said you're the best team in the world. Pathetic.
Get out of Bielsa's arse. What has Gabriel Agbonlahor done ever that gives him the right to tell us whose arse we should or shouldn't be in?
I think he spent the last few years at Villa just collecting a wage, more or less, while being injured and shit.
Well, we'll see, won't we, whether that one backfires on Friday or not, whilst he obviously frothed himself up over Jack Grealish. In the meantime, let's sleep on it and we'll reflect on it properly and get full reaction on the main podcast that we're recording on Tuesday afternoon. But in the meantime, it's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fine. We'll win the league. We'll be right.
Yeah, probably. Europa League, maybe.
Nice one. To get early access to the match ball, head to thesquareball.net/plus. TSB Plus subscribers get this one a little ahead of everyone else on the free feed. All our podcasts are on there ad-free as well if you fancy getting involved with that. thesquareball.net/plus. Well, that wraps up this one. We'll catch you next time.
The Match Ball.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.